everybody, welcome to a special edition podcast here, kind of mid-game week with Jackrabbit Illustrated. I'm Dallas, I'll be your host tonight, got a special guest, and excited to learn more about the SIU Salukis. So quick, want to give a shout out and thank you to our title sponsor for the 2023 year, Kubota Dealers of South Dakota. Tell you what, if you need to get anything done, I said this week in, week out, if you need a tractor, lawnmower, got to move some dirt around, whatever it is, get to a Kubota Dealer of South Dakota. They can hook you up, make sure they know that we sent you. So thank you, Kubota, for everything you do for us. All right, so make this quick. This is part of an extension of the Know Your Foes series that Matt puts out. Ben helped with this week. And by the way, if you are interested, if you haven't checked out our blog, go to jackrabbitillustrated.com. Tons of cool info. Know Your Foe, you know, things to watch for the game, cover all that. Rants and raves on Sunday morning with a cup of coffee or a Bloody Mary, whatever your choice is. That's always a good choice. And then also we've got Alex who joined us this year, and he does like a mathematical, computer model of the Valley. And I tell you what, and I'll even recommend that to our guest here to check out. It is a cool breakdown of what happened the previous week and what the matchups look like for the upcoming week based on Massey, Sergin, and a couple other things. So anyway, without further ado, I've got we'll call it an old friend, I guess, of Jackrabbit Illustrated here, Mr. Luke Martin. Luke, welcome. How you doing?
Dallas, good to be with you, man. No, excited. I mean, you know, like we were chatting before, it's a crazy busy week here in Carbondale with homecoming and all the festivities that intertwine with it. But, oh, yeah, and by the way, a football game and get to host the number one team in the country. And I know we'll talk about it, too. You know, there's so much Dallas this year that has been a major positive. I mean, you beat an FBS team that was within your state. You beat one of your regional rivals, a ranked top 15 team in the FCS at the time in SEMO, understanding went on a little bit of a slid, which got them out of the polls, but they're still unbeaten within their league and probably on pace to still make the postseason to get that automatic bid. But a head scratcher against Youngstown State, kind of still has this team. They like what they have. They feel confident that they can play with anybody, but it's already been proven this year, and it's been proven in recent years that they can lose to anybody in the league as well. So there's plenty on the line this weekend for SIU, just trying to make sure that the confidence that they have lost is not misplaced, because this is a confident team, and they feel like they definitely have the pieces to give the Jackrabbits and give any team a lot of fits, whoever they play on any given Saturday.
Yeah, I'd agree with that. I think they do. And maybe we'll jump straight into that and talk about just kind of confidence and some of the matchups. So on the we have two main podcasts, A Team, B Team. B Team actually had Stone Lebanowitz on this week. And Stone does not lack confidence. I'm not sure if you've met him.
Sure. I've never heard that before about Stone.
Does not lack confidence. But he was very, very direct and upfront about the fact that he thought the Salukis had much better skill players than South Dakota State. And I don't mean that as bulletin board material or anything. I mean, he just flat out said it. And he had a pretty good... some pretty good logic behind why he thought that. So I guess, do you want to talk about maybe skill matchups a little bit and what you've seen there from your research so far?
Yeah, well, I mean, I think for SIU, the part that's been, I don't know if frustrating is the right term, Alice, but the offense has not been a well-oiled machine. There's been flashes. SEMO in the second half is a great example. In the first half, couldn't move the ball at all. Second half looked like, all right, that's the offense we expected. Explosive plays to Vincent Davis. Explosive plays to Isaiah Hartrick. The defense forced key turnovers at key times. They played really good complimentary ball to come back to win that game. Austin Peay, first game of the year. Not that everything was perfect, but I think most people around the country thought, oh, that would be a pretty even game. That was anything but even. Austin Peay didn't get a first down till the final drive of the second half. And he didn't really score the ball at all until Southern removed all their starters from the game. So they dominated that. It's just been very inconsistent, I think has been the word. But the talent is no question there. Deontay Cox will be back. He's missed some time since the SEMO game. So their leading receiver a year ago is back. Isaiah Archer, I believe, is as athletic as any receiver in the league. But, you know, there's talent there on the offensive side. It just hasn't shown consistent for four quarters this year. The Youngstown State game is a great example. I mean, they had 100 yards of total offense. That was the lowest for a single game since 1976.
Ooh, I mean, they actually hadn't heard that stat line.
They couldn't move the ball at all. And Nick got sacked. Arguably, probably could have been for an eighth time. I think it was officially seven times he got sacked against Youngstown, which I think Youngstown is better, but I also don't think Youngstown State is as great as what they appeared to be that night against Southern. But, you know, I'm not surprised that Stone does not lack confidence in his Salukis. But, look, the defense for South Dakota State is going to be the best defense that Southern has seen this year and that Southern will probably see all year long. I mean, from Dyshon Gales on the back end, I mean, you can just go through. There's so many guys, Tucker Large. I mean, South Dakota State is going to fare their own on the defensive side. There will be some great opportunities, I feel, for SIU. But the difference, Dallas, is the defense for SIU. This team is not your typical Nick Hill team where, you know, offensively they could probably score 40-plus points any week, and then it's just a question of whether they can get a defensive stop. This team this year has totally retooled on the defensive side, gotten some key transfers that have come in, new defensive player Antonio James, who was on staff last year but now has really carried a ton over. That is why this team has major confidence. They know what they have offensively, but defensively is where they've made the best strides. And this weekend, the number one run defense in the country right now is SIU. That's going to be tested. SIU is really going to know if they are as legit at stopping the run as what they have been all year to this point.
And that's probably the matchup I'm most excited to see. So when we do the what to watch thing that I mentioned, coming out, it's going to be tomorrow night. And I think that we're going to have to do a bit of scheming beyond what, I mean, we're not just going to completely road grade the Southern Illinois defense the way we've done to a lot of people. But I do think over time, you know, we've got the ability to wear them down. It's weird, Luke. I've said this almost every week. I don't know that I'll ever feel this confident again as a fan. And I'm not, like, we are not generally an obnoxious fan base. We've never experienced the level of talent that we have, and everyone came back, right? And that is a weird thing to have. But actually, my question for you, and I'm curious, you talked about inconsistency, and I guess I mentioned O-line. That makes me wonder, I feel like your offensive line, the Salukis offensive line, has had a bit of inconsistency this year. Can you, and then I think it's a ton of returners, if I'm not mistaken. Can you maybe speak to that a little bit?
Yeah, I mean, a year ago, they didn't have one guy on the offensive line start every game at the same spot. So they had a lot of injuries. They had inconsistencies there just in terms of who was playing. Ironically, the only time they had last year, Dallas, the same starting offensive line was the five wins they had in a row. That was the only time all year where they had the same offensive line each and every week. This year, every game, they have had the same offensive line. There's so much more that goes into it than just the line in terms of their protection. Chase Evans was named the Valley Offensive Lineman of the Week this week. But the protection has been inconsistent up front. It's not been great. As we said, Youngstown State, Nick Baker was really running for his life. The majority of the game. He didn't have time to really throw a five-yard out, let alone trying to attack vertical and get it downfield to utilize the positive skill that they believe they have on the offensive side. But also, I don't think the Youngstown was the worst game for SIU offensively that has been all year. But for the most part this year, offensive line's been consistent enough to do it. It's just, have you done it against somebody that you have no questions about of being at all-time great level? It makes sense. You know, if you do it this weekend, Dallas, you know you can do it against any team in the country. Like, it's not like South Dakota State, even if Southern Illinois finds a way to win on Saturday, that's not going to have the bottom fall out of South Dakota State, and they're going to lose the rest of the games this season, and they're going to struggle. Like, South Dakota State is a legit, proven national title contender. They're the measuring stick that everybody is trying to measure themselves up to. To me, it's really a lot of those things we talked about. Your run defense, your offensive line appears to be improved, but how much improved are they? This is your legit, this is the measure. I mean, this is what you want. I mean, you want to find out what you have. It's no disrespect to Murray State. You should do what you did a week ago against Murray State. You should do that against the teams that are in the bottom tier of the division. But can you do it against the best? And can you do it consistently against the best?
No, that's a good, a real good point. I think we're going to see that because, you know, again, we brushed on the inconsistency, and this is a team that typically seems to kind of play to the level of competition more often than not. And I'm a little bit worried, Luke, that this is a trap game for the Jackrabbits because you've got, you know, you just come off a homecoming, a giant win, which, you know, you and I talked, I guess, before we went on that, you know, we played Northern Iowa on Hobo Day, on our homecoming, which is just gave everybody PTSD except for the current players. They didn't care at all, but the rest of us were terrified and, you know, took care of business. Very professional. Now you've got, just South Dakota down the road who, suddenly thinks that they're world beaters this year. And there's all this talk there's hopefully the players aren't listening to it, but there's all this talk about, oh, is College Game Day going to come to South Dakota State at just South Dakota the following week on the 28th. So you've got this very talented Saluki team sandwiched in between that clearly wants to prove something. And I just want to make sure everybody understands if there hadn't been that hiccup against YSU, this would be a fourth ranked team in the nation, probably, if I had to guess, something like that.
Yeah, arguably. I mean, you never know. I mean, SIU was fifth going into the Youngstown game. And, you know, I've always had a little, you know, a little beef with the FCS voting and kind of how much it can fluctuate and even the difference in the polls. I mean, Mike Trude and I, Mike, who's my broadcast partner, we talked about it. I mean, up to that point, now there was chaos that ensued with whatever it was, three top five teams losing, I think maybe seven ranked team lost that week. That caused the trickle-down effect to see SIU get catapulted to where they were. But, you know, there still hasn't been, I think, an unquestionable, really good team that Southern has beaten yet to this point. You know, like I said, I think SEMO will eventually get to the postseason, but they still got to get through, I believe, UT Martin in their league and still find a way to stack because they found every way to lose games in every possible way. Northern Illinois, I feel like that's a team that multiple teams in the Valley could beat, especially you guys in the upper tier in the Valley. Like the MAC, yes, they're FBS, but there's teams multiple years of the Missouri Valley Football Conference.
I will take most of the Valley over the MAC any year. And by the way, I was going to say congratulations on that win. A lot of South Dakota State fans, although we, you know, love Coach Eidsness, who is still there. There was a couple of years where we had a bunch of our coaches leave, go to Northern Illinois and pull a bunch of players with them. So I think at least some of us harbor a little bit of resentment about that still. So congrats on that win. That was a cool one.
No, absolutely. I talked to Branson Combs, one of our main linebackers earlier this week, talked to Nick Baker, talked to DJ Johnson, who's really had a good season on the back end. And just there, even though, like I said, you're 5-1, could have potentially been 6-0, could have been a top five matchup. That didn't happen. I'm never a fan of, or I should say, I'm never a huge opponent or component of people saying really did a loss. You got to find ways to win games you just do not play well. I mean, that's what championship teams do. I look at South Dakota State as a great example of that. Was Montana State the cleanest game they've ever played? Heck no, it wasn't. But they found a way to win a game when they maybe weren't necessarily playing their best. In Dallas, that's what the elite teams do at our level. So I think Southern internally as a team feels like they have a ton to prove. For that point that you made, Dallas, is yes, it was one loss, and it was going to be a big game, but it still is a huge game, you know, regardless of what happened in Youngstown. But they knew they stubbed their toe, and if they didn't stub their toe, this, of course, could have meant maybe a little bigger. But it's still big.
It's still a big game. Hold up, Luke, either my audio cut, I apologize, or I lost you, one of the two. Is there something that would have muted on your side? Anyway, I lost the audio here. Luke's going to figure this out. We'll continue to chat. I've got a couple more minutes. The last two questions I'm going to want to ask, I might, Luke, if you can hear me, if you want to maybe dip out and hit the link again. Oh, there we go. I got you.
Okay, perfect. I can hear you.
Yep, you're sorry back. Okay, that. I don't know if it was an internet issue or what. So, all right, we're back now. And so I think what I got to hit the road here in a couple minutes, get my son to the hockey rink, which is what I do 9 months out of the year. quickly, okay, there's two questions here. One, if you can answer shortly, this was one of the several that I got in on Twitter. John says, given the interest that some of the Missouri Valley schools have in potentially moving to FBS and other schools leaving, WIU, what are the thoughts on Saluki Nation on how they feel the Valley is a long-term home for them and kind of what's their place there?
Yeah, it's a really good question, Dallas. I think, you know, one of the areas when you look at the landscape in college football, you really got to figure out what college football is going to look like. I mean, there's no secret. I mean, for Southern Illinois to make money and to be a profitable athletic department, basketball has to get going, and basketball is a sport that really drives the ship here. I mean, Coach Hill knows that. I mean, that doesn't mean that football can't help boost it. Everybody cares about football here. I think what we see in terms of, we know the power three, four, whatever it's going to be, at some point that's going to break off. And they're going to be their own entity, and they're going to go on and do other things. What I hope the Valley does, and I do think Southern can be in this mix because they care about it enough to do it, is what happens to schools in the MAC, in that group of five, where do they exactly go? Because they're, of course, not going to be able to spend enough money to get to what would be the elite level. Can those Valley teams somehow find a way to get into that group of five, if that makes sense? And whether it's their own level of football, they're competing against schools like the MAC on a regular basis, and they expand their playoff system along those lines. Those are things I know that people hear, not just in terms of fans, but also administration, keeping their eye on. They want to make sure that they can, yes, basketball is what is going to ultimately dictate how our department really goes. But also, it's not like they're just trying to let football go by the wayside. I mean, there's value here. It's why Saluki Stadium got built. It's why Saluki Stadium was an important project for them. And it's why they want to position themselves for when that shift happens. I'm not saying Southern's going to join the elite level of the FBS. What I'm saying is, though, when those other schools got to figure out where they're going to go, Southern wants to be there with them. I'm sure South Dakota State, North Dakota State, I know the FBS conversation talk is, but what does college football look like in that landscape? That's what I'm interested in seeing, and that's where I hope schools like SIU and others within the Valley, that's probably going to put a lot of pressure on schools towards the bottom of the league to really dictate whether they want to try to compete at that level too, Dallas.
That makes perfect sense, and I really do hope that when some of the changes shake out, that Southern Illinois is involved and is long involved in the conversation, because they do make everybody better. I certainly include them in that, you know, that next echelon. Obviously, we, you know, North Dakota State was kind of their own animal for 11 years there or whatever. But I mean, really, I think they make the Salukis make the conference better, and I hope that they're included in that. So, and you mentioned your stadium. I also want to make sure I call out, if anybody ever has the opportunity to travel to Carbondale for a game, I did it. I know I've said it a few times in the spring season. Absolutely loved it. Loved the town. Enjoyed the stadium. Feels very similar to Dana J. Dykhouse Stadium too, by the way. Similar setup. Very cool place. So last question, and then I got to get the heck out of here, Luke. In short, what do your Salukis need to do to beat the Jacks?
Well, I think it's simple. You got to apply pressure. And that apply pressure is, you got to make South Dakota State battle from behind. You know, it's just something they haven't done a ton. I think in the last 2 years, there's only been two games outside of the Iowa game. So you count that one, I think three. So I think three games where they trailed in the fourth quarter the last 2 years. There hasn't been a ton of pressure necessarily them trying to come from behind outside of Montana State this year. I think that is going to be uber important. But the biggest thing of them all, it's the running game. I mean, South Dakota State, you look at their seven losses that they've suffered over the last 3 years, I believe, if I did the math right, five of those seven, Dallas, they rushed for under 150 yards. They've rushed for over 150 yards as a team, I think, in 10 straight games. Coming into this weekend, SIU last 2 years, they have held 11 games, under 100 yards rushing. If they can do that, now I pull an SDSU under 100 yards is a pipe dream. But if you can keep SDSU in relatively that 150 range, they'll have a chance. They will have a chance, but that's the goal. You cannot have SDSU get a lead and then run the ball, ball possession, and really prevent you from having a chance to score. SIU's got to be able to stop the run, and they got to be able to take advantage of those opportunities when they can.
Makes sense. That would be the recipe, I think, for pulling that off. So, everybody, Luke, thank you for joining, by the way. And, yeah, Luke Martin, he's the voice of the Southern Illinois Salukis. He'll be on the call this Saturday. With that, go big, go Luke, go Jacks.
We hope you enjoyed this podcast. We would also like to once again thank our sponsors, the Kubota Dealers of South Dakota, Culver's of Brookings and Watertown, Jackrabbit Central, and Colby Sports Bar and Grill. And, as always, Go Jack!